I wasn't there when you walked on the water. I wasn't there when you calmed the raging sea. I wasn't there when you preached on the mountain. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe. I wasn't there when you gave sight to the blind. I wasn't there when you made the lame man walk. I wasn't there when he ascended on up to glory. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe.
Oh, I believe that he's coming back for me, and I believe that he's coming back for you. Out of all those things that you say about me,
I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe, I believe. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe.
I didn't see, I didn't hear, I believe. Oh, I didn't see, I wasn't there, but I believe. I didn't see,
I didn't see,
I didn't hear,
I didn't hear,
but I believe. I didn't see, I didn't hear, but I believe.
I believe, I believe. He walked on the water. Yes, I believe. deep, gave sight to the blind. I believe. He rose from the grave with all power in his hand. I believe. I didn't hear, but I believe. He been too good to me, been so good. Sometimes I didn't know how I was gonna make it, but you still been good.
Oh yeah.
Been so good.
I didn't hear, but I
we thank God for the male chorus on this morning. Can we thank God for his grace and mercy on this morning? Can we thank God for his loving kindness on this morning? Amen. Praise them all, you. Praise them all your soul can stand. Amen. Jesus told Thomas, you've seen these holes in my hand, and you've touched this place in my side, and that's why you believe. He said, but more blessed are those that haven't seen. They'll believe just because of the testimony of those who were witnesses to. And the fact of the matter is, you ought to be your own witness. You ought to have your own testimony about the goodness of Jesus Christ in your life. Nobody shouldn't have to convince you or persuade you. You know how good God has been to you. Amen. We ought to give him some glory on this morning. We ought to give him the praise that he rightly deserves. To Jehovah God be all the glory. Father, now as we begin to prepare for your word, use me as you will, Holy Spirit, to preach with clarity and conviction, that you get all the glory and that people's lives will be positively changed by your word. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All the honor, praise, and glory to Jehovah God the Father, Jehovah God the Son, and Jehovah God the Holy Spirit. To my brother and sisters in ministry, I thank God for their presence and their prayers on this morning. To the deacons, trustees, auxiliary heads, members, and visitors of this Roanoke Chapel Missionary Baptist Church, thank you for being here on this morning. Church family, I'm going to finish today this sermon series that I started second Sunday in June. The sermon series is called Growing in Jesus. That's the name of the series. There have been two messages. The first message I preached third Sunday in June, it was called Something No Man Can Do. The second message in this series I preached the fifth Sunday in June, and it was called Take Jesus at His Word. And then this final concluding message in this sermon series this morning is from the book of St. John. All three messages have come from the book of St. John. This is chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. These verses will sound very familiar to some of you because Pastor Richard Webb preached from these same scriptures, these same verses on second Sunday in June. He preached from these same scriptures. He had a different sermon topic and a different God gave him a different look at these scriptures, but they are the same scriptures. St. John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. I'm going to read this from the New International Version. So if you have King James or New King James or whatever you may have, it certainly will be a little different. But I think it'll be close enough that you get the message. This is what it says, starting at verse number 1. St. John chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, and the name of the pool in Aramaic is Bethesda. And the pool is surrounded by five covered colonnades or covered canopies, five of them around this outdoor pool. Amen. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie. They lay there. It says lie, but it's actually they lay there. The blind, the lame, that's crippled, paralyzed. One who had been there an invalid for 38 years. There was a man that had been there as an invalid. He was crippled for 38 years. When Jesus saw this man lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The King James says, "Do you want to be healed or do you want to be made whole?" Verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Verse 8, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath," which was the religious day for the Jews, so keep that in mind. Verse 10, "And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.' But the man replied, 'The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk.' So the Jews asked him, 'Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?' The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there." "I know that you do not," let me see, then it goes on, it says, he slipped into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again." This is verse 14. Let me read this one again. Later, Jesus found this man that he healed at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Jesus said that. Verse 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Just for a very few minutes, let us please, let us reason and think about this together from this thought. Don't take God's grace for granted. Don't take God's grace for granted. This story in John 5 offers a good lesson to all of us. I believe the Lord is telling us to not take his grace and his mercy for granted. My own simple definition of grace is, God's grace is when he gives us something that we don't deserve. His mercy is when he withholds from us something that we do deserve. And I've shared this before. It's nothing new. Y'all have heard me say that before. John tells us that on a Sabbath day, which is a holy day, the Jews, a day of worship for the Jews, Jesus and probably the 12 were in Jerusalem. And while they were in Jerusalem, there was this marketplace for sheep called Bethesda. Bethesda was some type of outdoor pool that had five covered porches around it. And people had a lot of different and serious health problems, all kinds of problems, all kinds of physical issues. They would come to this pool of Bethesda, and they would either stand or sit or lay around on one of the porches of the pool. This is why they did it. These sick people would wait on those porches around the pool because every once in a while, one of God's angels would come down and stir up the water. Now, it doesn't say that in the NIV, but if you read the King James or the New King James, it says it very clearly that this angel would come down and stir up the water around in the pool. And as the water was stirring, the first person to get in the pool would immediately be healed. Amen. These sick people, they were there, and on this particular day, there was this particular man at the pool, and he hadn't been able to walk for 38 years. And on this Sabbath day, Jesus saw this lame man at the pool, and he already knew what the man's story was. Jesus already knew what the situation was. So he asked the man, "Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed?" Amen, right? Jesus just went right up to him and asked him, "Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed?" Now I can understand. I think all of us can understand that question may have surprised the man, but still, if you or I had been sick with anything for 38 days, much less 38 years, and somebody comes up to us and asks the question, "Do you want to be healed?" I think we will immediately say, "Yes. Yeah, I want to be healed 38 years ago. To God be the glory." But for whatever reason, this man did not give Jesus a direct answer. You can find it yourself if you look at verse number 7. Instead of him just saying, "Yes, I want to be healed," the man began explaining to Jesus why he had not been able to be the first person in the pool. The way the man responded makes me think that he felt the need to justify why he needed some help. And sometimes that's us too. When we're dealing with a tough situation, we got a problem or an issue in our lives, even if it's through no fault of our own, sometimes we feel as that we have to justify to other people why we're in the situation that we're in. And the fact of the matter is, some folks will want you to justify why you were in. "I need to borrow $5, Evelyn." "Well, what you need it for?" "Well, I got to put it on. I need some gas in my car." "Well, why you let the gas in your car get so low that now you need $5? You know, all that kind of stuff. We do that. And sometimes even we don't say it out loud, we do it in our minds. We're helping the person the whole time we're helping them. We think, you ought not be in this situation in the first place. If you would do this or not do that, you wouldn't be. That's us, right? I thank God Jesus is not that way. Jesus is not that way. Jesus doesn't ask us to justify why we need his help when we ask him for help. I just thank Jesus that he gives us his grace. And we see that in verse number 8. Jesus simply told the man to pick up his bed, pick up his sleeping pad. It was just not a full bed, but a pad, and walk. Jesus did not even respond to all that man was telling him about why he could not get in that pool first. He just looked past his, wait a minute, don't we say it all the time? Look past my faults and supply my needs. That's what Jesus did here. He looked past the man's faults, whatever they may be, and he did what the man needed. Here's an example of God's grace that should encourage all of us today. Jesus didn't ask the man to explain why he couldn't get in the pool. He healed him without the man even getting into the pool. In other words, Jesus can do things for us that we can't do for ourselves and that nobody else can do. By the way, that was the first message in the series, something no man can do. Amen. Here's another example of it. Jesus is doing something that no man can do. Let me remind us of the definition of grace again, and I've already told you, but let me remind you again. Grace is when God gives us something, when he blesses us in some way that we don't deserve. I've got four Bible verses I want to share with you that tell us about God's grace and his blessings to us spiritually and naturally. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time. That's a spiritual thing. You got some grace in you. You may not know it. You may not show it. It may not have manifested in your life, but you got some grace in you. Because the Bible says that it was given to us before the beginning of time. Jesus put some grace in us. Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of what? God's grace. We've got forgiveness of our sins. That's God's grace towards us. We've got forgiveness because of the riches of God's grace through the blood of Jesus. Not that we've earned it. We can't earn it. We got that because of God's grace. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace. Listen. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's spiritual or natural. When you need something, you don't ever have to be shamed or embarrassed or feel any guilt or condemnation about going to the Lord in prayer. Because the Bible says he's got a throne of grace, and it's just there waiting for us. It's just waiting there for us to approach him in our time of need. Here's the last one. 2 Corinthians 12:9, the A part of it. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus says, my grace is all you need. It's all you need. Why? Because my power is made perfect in your weakness. When you get to the point of what you can't do, that's when I'll step up and show you all I can do. Amen. Amen. Examples of God's grace in our daily lives. Well, the fact that we're here this morning. It's God's grace. When you lay down last night, go to sleep, or whenever you went to sleep, there was no reason for God to just wake you up and let you have another day. I'm not that smart. I'm not that rich. I sure ain't that cute. And I'm not that perfect. No, it was God's grace. When we wake up and we have what the old folks used to say, the seniors still say, a reasonable portion of our good health and physical strength, mental health and physical strength. That's God's grace. Don't you know there are people that have laid down and they were in perfectly good health and woke up the next morning, couldn't get out of bed. That's happened to some folk. Don't you know there are people who've been running, they've been running all their lives, they've been to the doctor and the doctor said they're in good health, and then the next week they find something they didn't see the week before? That's God's grace. That he just, it's not your exercising. It's not you eating right. It's not you drinking them vegetarian smoothies and all that. It's none of that. It helps you now. Don't get me wrong. You don't want to look like me, but it ain't that that's keeping you. It's God's grace. Let's get back to the story. After Jesus heals this crippled man, the man is walking around with his mat, with his sleeping pad. And then here comes trouble. Some of the Jews came to the man and said, they said, it's the Sabbath day, man. It's not legal for you to be walking around carrying your bed, carrying your sleeping mat like that. All the man had done at that point was just pick up his sleeping pad and he started to walk. But the man told them, he said, well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you this. The man who healed me, he said, I could pick up my mat and walk. They said, well, who is it? Who told you you could break the law of the Sabbath? And the man did not know who Jesus was at that time, because when Jesus healed him, Jesus went away and went about his business. But I'm glad that we know who Jesus is. And we know we can call on his name anytime. Amen. Call him in the morning. Call him in the noontime. Call him in the evening. Call him in the midnight hour. I can call on Jesus anytime I want to. I can be riding down the road and I can call on Jesus. I can be sitting at my table and I can call on Jesus. I can be sitting in jail and I can call on Jesus. I can be lying in the hospital and I can call on Jesus. It doesn't matter where I am and what circumstances and conditions I may be in, I can always call on the name of Jesus. Let me share 4 points about God's grace. Point number one, for those who like to take points. Point number one, grace, God's grace, is given freely. God's grace is given freely. That man didn't ask Jesus to heal him, and Jesus didn't require anything of the man. God's grace is given freely. Point number two, grace may be unexpected. God's grace may be unexpected. That man was beside that pool like he had been. Now, as Pastor Webb rightly said, we know the man had been lame for 38 years. We don't know that he had been around the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. But whatever the amount of time was, that man wasn't a bit more expecting to get healed that day than any other day. Because he told Jesus, every time I try to get up to get in, somebody else gets in. He had no expectation that he was going to be healed that day. So you understand that God's grace may be unexpected, but that's a blessing to us. Because see, as long as we got faith in Jesus, we got hope. We got hope. Might not have happened for me today, but as long as I know that Jesus loves me, I got hope for another day. Point number three, God's grace, now this is a real one, God's grace may provoke anger. Amen. God's grace may provoke anger. Let me explain this. In verses 15 and 16, you can read it for yourself, John tells us that the Jews were mad with the man because he was healed on the Sabbath. And then later on, when the Jews found out that it was Jesus that had healed him, they were mad with Jesus. And they began plotting, that's in verse number 16, they began plotting on how they could kill Jesus. Some folks would be jealous and angry when God blesses you. Some folks will be jealous and angry when God blesses you. God bless Mr. Garland Stevenson to sing as good as any professional singer any of us know. He didn't bless me with that. Why am I going to be angry with Mr. Garland? And Mr. Garland know that he can't just because he got it like that. No, Mr. Garland has to protect his voice. There's some things he can do, some things he doesn't do. He knows he can't wear his vocal cords out. He knows he can't abuse his vocal cords. And he understands that it's a gift from God. Why am I going to be angry with Mr. Garland because he can sing like that? And even if I can sing and I can't sing as well as he can, I still have no reason to be jealous or envious. I ought to thank God that I got somebody that can sing like that. Amen. But people will be jealous and envious and angry with you because God bless you. You work hard. Whatever it is, whether you have done well because you're educated or it doesn't have anything to do with education, you just are willing to work hard. You don't cheat folks. You're an honest person. And then you do what you need to do to try to have a better life for yourself and or if you happen to be married and have a family, your family. And some people be jealous and angry about that. You know, she thinks she's something. She is something. She's a child of God. She is somebody. And if you will put your behind in gear, you could have what she has. Matter of fact, God may have gifted you to have more, but you don't know because you don't want to work for yours. You don't want to do right to get yours. You just want it to come to you. It ain't coming to you like that. Amen. Don't be jealous and angry over how God gives somebody else bless, because he'll bless you the same way if you humble yourself and do what God asks you to do. Amen. Don't let your haters block your blessings. Keep on praising God anyhow. And if folk really try to do like these Jews plot and scheme against you, I promise you, God will take care of you. He'll protect you from your enemies. Here's point number four. Let me give you the first 3 points again. Number one, grace is given freely. Number two, grace may be unexpected. Number three, grace may provoke anger. Here's the fourth point. In verse number 14, Jesus found this man that he had healed, and the man had now left the pool and had gone into the temple. And that was a smart move. If God had healed me, I'd go into the temple and say, thank you, Lord, too. So there he was in the temple. Jesus comes up to him, and Jesus says to him, you're healed now. You're healed. Jesus himself was excited about healing the man. But then he says, now stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Here's point number four. Don't take God's grace for granted. That's point number four. Don't take God's grace for granted. Jesus already knew what that man's sin was, but he healed the man anyway. Come on now. Every one of us in here ought to be able to say hallelujah about that, because Jesus knows about my mess. He knew about your mess back in the day. He knows about our recent mess. And he still chooses to show us grace anyhow. That's worth saying hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That you didn't strike me dead. That you didn't strike me down. That you didn't wipe my mind clean when I was thinking of old ugly, nasty, putrid thoughts. That you didn't close up my mouth. And I don't mean in death. I just mean make it so you can't talk. When I was running around cussing folks out and gossiping on folks and talking bad about folks. When I was running here and there trying to get to every sinful thing I could get to. Lord, you still allowed me to have some movement in my legs. Amen, Lord. Don't take God's grace for granted. Jesus' warning to that crippled man is a warning to all of us. Jesus knows our sins, but he forgives us our sins so many times, even while we are in sin. But here's the thing. If we continue to deliberately and willfully sin against God, he may remove his grace. And something worse can happen to us. I don't know what it is. And guess what? I don't want to know what it is. I don't want to know what that may be in my life. And I sure don't want to know what it may be in your life. All I need to know is God said, I'm showing you my grace every day. I'm giving you mercy every day. I'm blessing you every day with a reasonable portion of good mental health. And physical strength every day. I'm letting you breathe through your own lungs every day. You're not on no kind of ventilator. And even if you need a ventilator, I made that possible for you too. If you need a wheelchair, I gave you that too. Whatever it is you need, I'm providing for you. Don't take my grace for granted and keep on sinning against me like you got it like that. You ain't got it like that. I don't have it like that. None of us have it like that. God is better than us than we could ever hope to be to ourselves. To God be the glory. It's tight, but it's right, church family. Sometimes God gets tired of us sinning against him, and he brings swift and severe judgment on us. You don't have to believe not nary word I have just said, but I dare you to do this. Go read the first about 3, 4, 5 chapters of Isaiah. Read it in any version you want to. Go read the first 4 or 5 chapters. Matter of fact, just read the first 3. Read the first 3 chapters of Isaiah in the Old Testament and see, won't you find out God gets tired of our sin and he brings swift judgment, because Isaiah tells us that's exactly why God let the folks, let the Hebrews be caught up and made slaves, and they were treated horribly. But it was because of their own sin against God. That's what it was. Amen. James said in chapter 4, verse 17, anyone who knows the right thing to do, anybody who knows the right thing to do, but then you choose not to do it, that person is in sin. Anytime Edwin knows the right thing to do and Edwin doesn't do it, Edwin is in sin. And if God takes me over his knee and tears up my backside, something good, it ain't nobody's fault but Edwin. It ain't Julia's fault. It ain't Lauren's fault. It ain't Deacon Osby's fault. It ain't nobody's fault but mine, because I knew better and I chose to go ahead and be hard-headed anyway and disobedient. All right, I gave you an Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to Acts. Go to chapter 5. Read the story. The first 11 verses, that's all you need to read. Acts 5, 1 through 11. If you don't read no further, you stop right there. The story of Ananias and Sapphira. Knew they were lying. God blessed them to have land that they could sell and make money. And God didn't ask them for all the money. He just said, bring me my tenth. That's all they were supposed to give. And they conspired together. Listen, the Bible doesn't say they conspired to lie to the apostles and the people. The Bible says they lied to the Holy Spirit. And as soon as Ananias told that lie, the Bible said he dropped dead. Then his wife came along about 3 hours later and told the same lie, and she dropped dead too. Don't play God. You play me all day long because I'm simple. You play me, I ain't got no sense. But don't play God. Some of us think we're playing God, but we're not. And I thank God for his grace over 58 years in my life, that he didn't get to a point he was tired with me and bring swift and severe judgment on me. And I sure don't wish it on nobody else. Don't take God's grace for granted. But I'm going to close on a positive note. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's be positive as we get out of here. God loves all of us. He saves everybody. Even unsaved people, God loves you. Because if God didn't love unsaved people, none of us would be saved now. Amen. God will help us in every area of our lives if, and it's a big if we will let him. He gives us grace every day. And we should say, thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. If you're already saved, thank God for Jesus. Amen. Jesus saved our souls. He supplies all of our needs. He gives us a more abundant, a better life, so that we can share his love and blessings with other people. Amen. If you're not saved, there's good news for you too. The Bible says that if you will ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will immediately be saved. That's all you have to do. No, just like the man at the pool of Bethesda, Mr. Garland, no conditions to that. He said, if you will ask me to be your Lord and Savior. And if you believe for real, that I did get up from the dead, you're saved. You don't have to do nothing else. You don't have to be right. You don't have to wait and get right. All you have to do is humble yourself enough to do exactly what that song that Steve and the choir sang. Just, I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but I believe. That's all he's asking us to do. Just believe if you're unsaved, and you will get saved. Let's thank God for his amazing grace. There's a song that says, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind spiritually, but now I see. Amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe thus far, and it will be grace that will lead me on. This is what I love about it. When we've been there, Ethel, 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, it's grace that's brought me thus far, and it's grace that'll lead me on. Thank God for his grace. God's grace to all the world is without question. It cannot be disputed. Nobody can tell you that we don't serve a loving, kind, and gracious God. You know how I know? Because he gave up his son so I could live. Yes, he did. On a Friday, on a hill called Golgotha. Some folks say Calvary's hill. Amen. God the Father put his son on a cross and let wicked, sinful, despicable men nail him to that cross and let them pierce him in his side. But he did it because of his love and grace for you and me. And then Jesus, who could have come off that cross, stayed there until he gave up his own spirit and he died. And he went down in a borrowed tomb. And he wasn't through then, because while his body was in that borrowed tomb, his divine spirit went down into hell, took the keys from the devil, set the captives free. Even folks in hell got grace on that day because God set them free. That ought to be something right there. God went to hell and set the captives free because of his grace. Then on that third day morning, he got up with all power. And that power included his love, his mercy, and his amazing grace. Thank God for his grace. It's God's grace, church family.